Good morning. It's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Walmart, Target, and Costco are making significant pushes into organic groceries with the promise of bringing down prices for shoppers. Walmart's move is particularly notable as it sells more groceries than any other company in the country. What does this mean for shoppers, and what does it mean for the agricultural industry? With me is Joe Dubrow, who is the author of Natural Profits, From Health Foods to Whole Foods, How the Pioneers of the Industry Changed the Way We Eat and Reshaped American Business. He was with us just a few weeks ago. Joe, good to have you with us again.
Pleasure to be back with you, Larry.
I appreciate it. So how big a deal is this that Walmart seems to be making at least a stated commitment to organics?
I think it's a real commitment, and I think it's got some of the companies in the industry quaking in their boots right now. The reality is Walmart has been in this business for a while. I think they started getting into organic milk back in 2001, and there's a story that I tell in Natural Profits about how in 2004, their main organic milk supplier was Organic Valley, and they were starting to take up a lot of Organic Valley's business, and Organic Valley finally decided that they were going to stop, and they were going to primarily serve the natural foods industry instead. So, you know, the Walmart effect is very real, and if by bringing the Wild Oats brand in, they can have an impact on prices and on the democratization of organics, it'll be controversial, but I think ultimately it's going to be a good thing.
I didn't even realize the Wild Oats brand was still out there, because after Whole Foods acquired the market chain of that name, they all went away. So I didn't even realize that there was a line of food that Wild Oats had.
Yeah, you have to follow the bouncing ball there, because you're absolutely right. You know, Wild Oats, at one point in the year 2000, they actually had more stores than Whole Foods did, and then were eventually consumed by Whole Foods, as so many of the other retailers were. But when the lawsuit was finally settled, Whole Foods had to divest itself of some stores and of the Wild Oats trademark. And so it was bought by a guy named Jim Keyes. And Jim eventually went to work for Yucaipa, Ron Burkle's company, and they bought the Fresh and Easy stores from Tesco. So if you've been in a Fresh and Easy store recently, you've seen that they've started to introduce that Wild Oats name again as a product. And in a sense, from a business perspective, saying nothing about the ethics of it, I mean, this is a brilliant move on their part, because by bringing in Walmart as a huge customer for the Wild Oats brand name, they're going to bring the prices way down, even for the Fresh and Easy customers on that Wild Oats brand.
How did they do that, though, given that you've got significantly more costs associated with production of organic goods? How are they able to cut the price so much?
Well, one portion of it is always profit margin, and most companies set the bar on that, and Walmart has decided to lower the bar on that a little bit, because they are betting that they will ultimately be able to drive some cost out of the system on the buy side, because they'll be buying in large quantities. They will probably be able to drive some costs out of the system on packaging and distribution, which tend to be somewhat higher in the natural and organic foods industry, simply because the volumes are lower. You know, this is, in many ways, it's really a strategic move in the war for consumers' food dollars out there.
And so, I know there are larger companies involved in the growing of organics, but I still think of it in my mind as the stereotype of, you know, mom and pop farms and all. And I picture them as the margins get shaved and shaved and shaved, you know, potentially being acquired by larger agricultural firms, it being more difficult to compete. Maybe that's not real, but at least that comes to my mind as a concern. Is that realistic, Joe?
It is, and I know you'll talk about that with Phil Howard, who's, you know, produced some of the most incredible infographics to show what's happened to the ownership of some of those small companies. But I would say this, Larry, and I think it's a reassuring note to people like you and a lot of your listeners who really do care about natural and organic food growers and, you know, making sure that this cottage industry doesn't become too commercialized. and that is that I still see a tremendous amount of entrepreneurial vitality in this industry. So at the Natural Foods Expo, the big trade show for the industry, which was held in Anaheim just a few weeks ago, 70,000 people showed up. They had over 3,000 companies that were displaying there. And of the 3,000, something like 25% of them were there for the very first time. So you think about this natural foods revolution that's 30-plus years in the making, and it's a $100 billion industry, and you know, here comes Big Bad Walmart doing all of these things to make it into not your grandmother's organics. And yet, here are all these mom-and-pop companies showing up for the first time, spending hard-earned money to get a booth at Expo West to try to make it with, you know, some little family recipe that has been a secret for all these years.
We're talking with Joe Dobrow, who is author of Natural Profits from Health Foods to Whole Foods. Also with us, the aforementioned associate professor at Michigan State University, Philip Howard, who studies food systems. Professor, thank you for joining us.
Glad to be here.
So let's talk a little bit about this issue of, you know, impact on the growers. How big do you think it could be?
Well, it kind of depends, because there are some very small organic growers that have very diverse operations, and that they tend to sell at farmers markets and to restaurants and other very direct markets. And then you have the big industrial scale growers, particularly in states like California, that end up supplying some of those really big processors. And my concern is not so much for the small growers, but for those big industrial growers. You know, is a move like this going to put pressure on processors to start sourcing even more products from overseas, from places like China and Latin America, where labor costs are much lower?
What's the problem with having them sourced overseas? I know, you know, the Grow Local movement obviously is important to many people, but are there concerns about the certification and legitimacy of it?
There are some, yeah. I mean, in China, the USDA took them several years to get over and find out what was happening on the ground there. So some certifiers I've talked to are skeptical that the enforcement is the same in China as it is in a place like the United States. You know, it's really tough to say. They're a little more confident in places like Latin America. But, you know, like the larger concern is, you know, the founders of organic had ideals of local regional food systems that were relying on local inputs, and now it's become this global business with products being shipped all over the world and all the fossil fuels that are consumed in that.
And does the USDA actually certify the organic status of growers in other parts of the world?
Yes, they have oversight over private and nonprofit certification agencies, so they go visit those offices and check their records, but the people who actually go on the ground in most cases are the people who work for those private and nonprofit certifiers.
So they're technically organic, but they don't fit the intention, you're saying, of those who really founded the organic movement, that these be locally grown.
Yeah, the organic standards have changed over time. You know, the original standards embodied put a lot of emphasis on building the humus content of the soil, for example. You know, that's still in there, but it's mostly become prohibitions on certain things. So as long as you're not using synthetic pesticides and fertilizers, then you can be considered organic, even if it's a, you know, huge industrial operation and you're planting just one crop.
We're talking with associate professor at Michigan State University, Philip Howard. He specializes in food systems. If you have questions about the nature of organic foods and produce specifically, and the fact that more big box retailers and discounters are adding to their grocery inventory of organics, we're at 866-893-KPCC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpcc.org. Whenever we talk about this topic on the program, many listeners want to know more about the organics that they're buying, or why they can't find certain things, why they look the way they do. If you have questions about the business of organic food and questions about what it means for you as a consumer, now's a great time for you to get those questions answered. 866-893-KPCC or the AirTalk page, kpcc.org. Joe Dobrow, the survey that, you know, Walmart tout shows something like 90% of their customers say they want to have more organics. But I was also looking at sales figures for certified organic showing that there's been a decline of interest. Is this something where people often say that they want it but don't really spend the money they say they will?
Could be. But I would also suspect that one of the things that's impacting that is the GMO issue. Because although by law, USDA certified organic excludes GMO ingredients, we now have this new non-GMO verified seal that you're starting to see show up on a lot of packages. And my own survey work with consumers, which we did at Expo West, really surprised me because consumers were saying it wasn't enough for them to see the USDA organic seal. They also wanted to see that non-GMO verified seal. And so I think that as that issue has started to become more important, the stated interest in organics may have declined a little bit, even though, again, that's really sort of a consumer misunderstanding.
Deepa writes on the page, this is a brilliant move given the rising volume of outcry against GMO food products, processed food, and the growing realization of negative effects of pesticides. The market for organic foods just waiting to explode. Easy availability and lower cost through places like Walmart and Costco should see the market expand dramatically. We're at 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. PU writes on the page, does Walmart adhere to the USDA organic standards or California's? There's a big difference, and many people don't know that. Phil Howard?
Well, there's just one national standard now. So when that went into effect in 2002, the California standard went away. I mean, the certifiers were still there, but they now had to figure out how to enforce this new national standard. So they really are. If it does say organic, it does mean that the ingredients have been certified by an agency to make sure that it is what it says.
And is the standard that has been used since 2002 by the U.S., is that comparable to what California's previous state standard was?
There were some changes. It was described as a patchwork of standards before that, various state and regional standards. They all had some slight differences. But for the most part, it was pretty similar. I mean, California had already moved towards, you know, really prohibiting certain substances rather than focusing on a more holistic picture of a vision of organic farming.
How much growth do you anticipate seeing in organic growing? Is this something where farmers have to be, you know, looking at it seriously as an expansion area?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, particularly in places like the Midwest, there's not enough supply to meet the demand. If Walmart is going to drive the price down to the same as conventional, there's really no reason for consumers not to buy it. So I think it's going to encourage more conventional farmers to go into this, even if they don't get a price premium, then they'll at least have a more stable market to supply.
How much of it is price on which consumers make their decision versus the appearance of it? Because with produce, often the organics don't look as good. They're not; they don't have the aesthetic appeal of the non-organic produce. So is that a major point of decision for consumers? I assume one of the reasons that these crops have been cultivated the way they are is because it leads to bigger sales.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on people's values. I mean, some people are willing to pay a lot more for organic, and some people aren't. So we've seen over the years a number of products that where those price differentials have narrowed. For carrots, for example, are really, when they're produced organically, are not much more expensive than conventional. And so some retailers don't even bother to have different prices. And so carrots are, you know, the amount of carrots sold in the U.S. that are organic are very high. I think it's over 10%. So I think, the price does play a big role, and the more the price is lower, the more people will buy organic.
Joe Dobrow, what are your thoughts on that?
I actually would take issue with the notion that the organic produce doesn't look as good. I mean, it certainly used to be the case. In fact, there's a chapter in my book, I think, that's called A Few Gnarly Pieces of Produce, because that's what it was like in the health food store days. But I think that the science and the art of organics has come a long way since then, and that the aesthetic element of it is pretty much close to parity, much as the aesthetic element of packaging of natural and organic foods is pretty much close to parity with conventionals now, because enough time has elapsed there. The interesting question really is, will the price premium truly go away and all that is implied by it? So when you think about dairy producers as an example, I mentioned Organic Valley earlier or Stonyfield Farm, it has long been their philosophy that they were going to pay the organic farmers a premium for their organic milk, come hell or high water. And that was just built into their model. And so the question now becomes, if that price premium, the retail price premium, goes away in part because of the Walmart effect and the Target and Costco and everybody else, Kroger, weighing in on this, are we still going to have and are we still going to need a system in place to make sure that the original producers, like those organic dairy farmers out there, are still getting what they need, because they don't get the subsidization that a conventional farmer does through the Farm Bill. And they do have a lot of additional costs in terms of certification and paperwork, and their volumes are lower. So that's really where I'm going to be interested to see what happens as a result of the whole Walmart thing.
Phil Howard, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's such an expense to do the certification. The paperwork requirements are really burdensome. And so you've seen a lot of examples where some of those smaller organic pioneers have just given up on organic certification. They sell in direct markets where they can talk to people face-to-face. They've developed relationships of trust, and they've kind of given up on this industrial model of organic and trying to supply that system.
I want to thank you both for being with us and talking about the future of organic food with Walmart's announcement that it's going to be putting Wild Oats products, certified organic, into their stores across the country. Thank you both very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Philip Howard, Associate Professor, Michigan State University, and Joe Dobrow, author of Natural Profits, From Health Foods to Whole Foods, How the Pioneers of the Industry Changed the Way We Eat and Reshaped American Business. Coming up right after Air Talk today at 1 o'clock, BBC NewsHour, and you're going to be hearing the latest on what's happening in Syria. The international envoy to Syria says the city of Homs has again become a theater of death and destruction. NewsHour's Lise Doucette in Damascus, who's just returned from Homs. That's coming up today at 1 o'clock, right after Air Talk, here on 89.3. Coming up, we'll talk about conflict in the eastern Sierra Nevada over a proposed solar facility that would be a significant part of the L.A. Department of Water and Power's move to renewable energy. But many residents of the eastern Sierras aren't happy about it. We'll find out why right after Hedy Lynn Hurdes has this news update.